Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. So I got a text yesterday from attorney Norm Pattis. He's representing the husband in the missing mom case. And the text says, want to talk about the gag order.
Okay.
And I thought, well, if there's a gag order, you can't really talk about the gag order,
right?
Can you?
I don't.
Now, this might be an interesting call. Norm Pattis on the phone. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Morning.
Long time no talk. Well, so, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, Judge Blawey did issue an order restricting speech, but not all speech on the case. And so, and we have taken an emergency appeal to the state Supreme Court, recharacterizing his order as a prior restraint on speech and therefore a violation of Mr. Dulos's and mine, frankly, right to speak under the First Amendment, and an order that compromises Mr. Dulos's fair trial rights. So, you know, it seems one of the concerns that the courts have had about prior restraints on speech is obviously it's an order inhibiting speech, and it chills speech. And candidly, I think this order has chilled speech. People like you, like the come on you just had to this piece, you know, can we even talk about it? There seems to be some sort of apprehension or chill in the air. And all that Judge Blawey said is that you cannot comment about the credibility, among other things, about the credibility of victims, witnesses, or other trial participants. And our view is Mr. Dulos has not done so in recent days and or weeks.
But you can't either.
I can't, and I'm, as an officer of the court, I'm obliged to follow. There's something called the collateral bar rule. We think
all
Judge
right, this
Blawey,
is going over my head now. Let's just talk about, so you can't talk about the evidence, and you can't talk about the players?
I can't make comments about their credibility. Our view is that, you know, so here is Mr. Dulos's posture in the world. He has twice been accused of offenses, but not been accused of anything in relation to the disappearance or the vanishing of his wife. If we speak about that, that could draw the judge's ire. And as a result, our contention is that Mr. Dulos is inhibited from talking about a crime he hasn't even been charged with yet. So there can really be no fair trial issue, and this is chilling his First Amendment right to speak.
But the gag order is on this, or on the two tampering with evidence charges, right?
Right, and the victim in those cases are the state of Connecticut. Those are offenses against the administration of justice. Mr. Dulos has not been charged in the disappearance of his wife.
Do you think you're going to get a slap on the wrist for this phone call?
No. I don't think I've come anywhere close to crossing the line. If we do, we'll challenge that as well. But to characterize what the judge did as a gag order barring all speech on this is to go too far. If you look carefully at his order, he tried to craft an order that limits speech of a certain type, speech which in his view would compromise Mr. Dulos's fair trial rights. Our view is that the Sixth Amendment right to a fair trial reposes or belongs to the defendant. Quite candidly, the state doesn't have a Sixth Amendment fair trial right. So if Mr. Dulos chooses to speak, he's the one that would be placing his fair trial rights at jeopardy. And our view is, given the public interest in the case and the way the case has unfolded thus far, his hands are being tied to his detriment, thereby compromising his fair trial rights.
So this judge didn't agree with you, and now you're going to appeal. Is this the judge you're going to be in front of when you're at trial?
No.
Seems like you wouldn't want to annoy this one.
Yeah.
He's a good judge, and I mean, but you know, good lawyers annoy good judges, and it's just the way it is. It's an adversarial context contest. The judge is the referee. I mean, for example, you know, consider the state's attorney in this case, Mr. Colangelo. I know him to be an honorable guy. I have dealt with him for almost 30 years now. In fact, sued him, took him into federal court. And nonetheless, we have built a solid professional relationship. Somebody told me the other day that somebody was criticizing his handling of this case, feeling that he was manipulating it to advance any claim he may have to seek to become the chief state's attorney.
Somebody said that on this show yesterday.
Well, you know, I
about 23 and a half hours ago.
I happen to disagree fundamentally with that assertion. I know Rich and have known him forever. He would be a fantastic chief state's attorney. He's a minister of justice.
Nah, you suck it up right now.
There you go, a little brown nose.
No, I'm not, Jess. Look. This is being a trial lawyer is being a prize fighter. You step into the ring and you make your best case according to the rules that the referee calls. You may not always agree with the referee, but you respect the referee's right to make the call, and you earn a respect for your adversary. To suggest that Mr. Colangelo is manipulating his handling of this case in order to benefit his career prospects, it's just more cynical than he deserves. And it's not sucking up to him, it's respecting him, because I do. And which part of that is wrong?
Now, do you respect the amount of evidence he's been giving you?
We have an ongoing dispute, which we will resolve in court, about the discovery. I understand he's made strategic decisions. We disagree with those strategic decisions, and we'll take them up with the judge.
Friday, I don't know the attorney, but it's the guy who works for your firm.
Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith. All right, so black
thing.
Hair, right. With the Fu Manchu.
Right, with the zipping thing.
He
yes.
went in front of him.
A good-looking guy with a ponytail. I mean, let's be real.
All right,
you know?
Yeah.
One of the firms
hot
job,
stud
yes.
with the ponytail.
Exactly, only shorter, yes.
Right.
It takes a certain man to pull off a ponytail.
Right.
It does.
It does.
Yes.
Well,
it takes miracle hair grow, but we'll talk about that in a moment.
It seems like it's a requirement at your...
yes.
First, there's Norm, the ponytail guy, and then there's the other ponytail guy.
There's a certain look in the office, yes.
Yeah.
So he gets in front of a bunch of microphones and cameras Friday and does the zip it move.
Yeah.
And then walks away. And then Fotis gets up and starts speaking. Is that... was Fotis doing his own thing there? Would you rather have him just not talk?
There is no gag order prohibiting speech in general. I think Kevin was expressing in a sardonic way his disagreement with the ruling and, you know, scorn for it. But there is no order barring Fotis from talking. He did not sacrifice his First Amendment rights when the state decided to call him a suspect. And what he spoke about was well within the contours of the judge's ruling. I don't know if you've actually taken a look at the order, but read the order and look at the limits.
Oh. I don't even read mortgage statements.
Yeah, really.
I'm like, all right.
It's like these are First Amendment rights, and you're a broadcaster. You should be chomping at the bit to test the limits of the law and to defend the right to speak. Free speech has been one of the defining characteristics of this country and one of the things we say we fight. Listen to the cynicism. We like sheep have gone astray. I feel like you should make that the new theme song of the show. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now, you don't want to hear me sing.
No, we don't.
Better go read that order. Yeah,
yeah. Do you think of all the people on this show, do you think I was the one paying attention in class?
Exactly.
Yes. No further questions, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. I can rest my case.
Yeah. 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 Well, I wasn't either until I read the Constitution one day. It all changed for me with the civics professor who explained the dispute about and the meaning of separation of powers. And the Constitution made such implicit sense at that point. And then when I really studied the preamble and talked about government as the creation of the people and took a look at the Bill of Rights, I got fired up. Government is something we create to make life together possible. It doesn't set the terms and conditions of our lives. We set those terms and conditions on government. The Bill of Rights gives people rights against the government. The First Amendment protects our right to speak. The Sixth Amendment protects our right to a fair trial. In our view, the gag order in the Dulos case violates both of those, and we're preparing briefs now, and we'll argue those, I think, in December in the state Supreme Court, and the loser there will undoubtedly go to the U.S. Supreme Court, because the issues here are fundamental. Do you want prior restraints on what you can't say? If we violate a rule, a disciplinary rule, or we violate some rule, punish us for speaking, but don't bar us from speaking beforehand. Prior restraints have always been scorned in this country.
So this gag order as it stands now, Fotis can't do one of those Dateline things, right?
No, he can. He can go. There's nothing that would prohibit him from going on Dateline. It's just he has to be careful what he talks about.
Okay, gotcha.
In fact, we're evaluating offers from various shows right now. I don't know whether he'll choose to do them or not. That's up to him.
Yeah. You and I have been friends for a long time. You know where I stand and what I think happened.
And how you reach that conclusion. And I yet have never seen you come to my office to take a look at the evidence. And I don't understand how you can reach conclusions about it.
What?
I will never understand it. I guess you weren't paying attention in class. That is
now,
true.
If I went to your office, would
true.
I see actual
Mr.
evidence?
To conclusions,
would I? Would I? If I went to your office, would you actually show me evidence?
I don't know. That's
this is why I haven't gone to your office to see evidence.
No, you haven't even called to ask the question. This is the first time you've asked it. Maybe.
All right. Yeah. I would, you know, let's see what you got there. But
all right.
I'm just, look, I realize where I am here. I'm in the cheap seats. I'm only seeing and hearing
the seating.
What is out there?
Yeah.
And the only thing that's out there are the state's arrest warrants, where they get to declare what they believe. We don't get to respond in kind with our beliefs at this point, given the status
of the order. But there's some real life stuff here that you can't deny is a problem for your client.
We've seen the warrants. We've not seen the evidence. And I don't want to comment beyond that because I don't want to run afoul of Judge Blowey's order.
Gotcha. You're right. Okay.
One of the problems with the order from our perspective is the warrants get to repeat the state's theory without letting us inspect the evidence, and we can't respond in kind by floating theories of our own. There is something, in our view, wicked and fundamentally unfair about that.
But listen, this is what I was going to say, to make two points here. Well, I'm rooting against your client, but, you know, we'll always be friends.
You hurt both of my feelings.
Right.
Both feelings. Wow.
On the jury selection, you guys going to have a problem with that in this state?
I don't think so. I've never had a case that has attracted this much attention, but I've had cases that have attracted plenty. And you think, my goodness, I'll never get a fair juror. You think of the guy who threw his baby off the bridge, or the death of a Trooper Dingwall on Route 9 years ago, when the people were so fired up about that. But when it comes time to jury selection, here's what you learn. I worry about the things that I'm paid to worry about, or my personal life, as do you. Most of us don't worry about other people's problems. We have significant problems of our own. My experience with jury selection in Connecticut is that most people are so focused on their own events that they don't really think that much about the events of others. And so my hunch is it'll take some time to pick the jury, but it won't be impossible.
All right, remember the other point, and that is I am, you know, not rooting for your guy. However, I don't think it's fair for the state to be able to leak stuff and for you guys to not be able to respond to
it.
Root for the rule of law. Judge Blowey's order arguably prohibits the state's actors, the police, from leaking stuff as well. But good luck with policing that. Our view is, we're prepared to meet these accusations in any forum, anytime, anywhere, whether in a courtroom or in the court of public opinion. The judge has restrained us at this point from responding more fully in the court of public opinion. We're frustrated. We feel strongly enough about that to ask the state Supreme Court to review it, and if we don't get the relief we're requesting there, we'll go to the U.S. Supreme Court. Prior restraints in the United States chill the exercise of free speech. They have been scorned since the founding of the Republic. And we will not permit this order to stand without a fight.
Well, you know, we have an open invitation here to for your guy, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I wouldn't play nice.
Well, why is that? Is the presumption of innocence checked at the door when you get up in the morning? Are you going to rush to judgment just because it feels good?
I feel like kind of did.
I've got other clients I'd like to bring to see you, but,
I felt like that was kind of a threat. All right, Norm, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Remember, two words you need to think about today as you're going about your business. You ready?
Okay.
Not guilty. See you later.
All right. I was thinking pizza and beer.
All right.
Big announcement from the Eagles yesterday. They're going to do a limited tour playing Hotel California in its entirety.
Yes.
And then they'll take a break and come back out and play greatest hits. So what do we know about this? And will they come to Connecticut? Jimmy Kopelik, Live Nation Concert God, on the show. Good morning, brother.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Morning. Excellent.
Good. Good.
I feel like you hinted this a while back.
I did. I mentioned I was going to be spending Valentine's Day in New York City, seeing the Eagles. Didn't realize that I had actually opened my mouth about something I shouldn't have, which I often do it on your show.
Right. It happens.
And then yesterday they announced what they were doing, so where I'd be on Valentine's Day. And the Eagles are doing a six-city tour in the U.S. and playing what they did in Vegas a couple of weekends ago, which is play Hotel California. And then after Hotel California, they play...
Oh, you have some new...
a doggy!
I just saw an eagle.
He's Jewish like me, and he said, I shouldn't be working.
Right.
Hold on, Jeff.
What's doggy's name?
Oh, sorry about that, guys.
Oh, that's okay.
Sir Barks-a-Lot.
What's doggy's name?
Jack.
Jack.
Jack. I know Jack.
Is Jack Russell?
No. He's a Labradoodle.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it's a big bark for Jack
Russell. He's a 40-pound Labradoodle that now is 50-pound Labradoodle. He's getting bigger like me, it seems.
Gotcha.
He's contagious in this house.
Yeah, a little snackage.
Yeah, I can't help it at night. So they're doing a six-city tour. You're right, they're doing Hotel California, which you know, it's interesting, because when Springsteen did his albums on stage, they were sometimes double albums that he did. It was long.
Yeah, right.
This is a 9-song album. So this will be one album, then they do their greatest hits. And AJ, our friend Andy, went to Vegas and saw the band.
Okay.
Do the show.
Right.
And they do Hotel California first, just as Chaz just said. They take a break, they come back, they do their greatest hits, and it ends up they do 32 songs.
So that's cool.
It's wow. Every bit an Eagles show that you've seen before.
Right, and it's all the good stuff, no stinkers.
Not at all. It's remarkable. And to me, they're one of the five great live bands. If you love recreation of an album, and you love recreation of harmonies that you hear on an album, this is what you want to go see.
There you go, see?
They're not a jam band. They recreate exactly what happened on on record.
Damn. Where are they playing on February 14th?
Madison Square Garden, 14th and 15th.
Right.
Are those tickets on sale now?
No, they're going to go on pre-sale, I think, next week.
Pre-sale. So that'll be for fans that are registered on the website or through a credit card, or how is that?
Not really sure what it is, because although they're Live Nation shows, they are not shows that I'm involved in. So just go on Ticketmaster. That's the easiest way to figure it out, because Ticketmaster is Madison Square Garden.
Phil, can you look up the Vegas show? I'm just curious as to what the greatest hits were on that particular night. There's not a bad song on a Hotel California album. So that whole thing. So it's a night of all hits, it sounds like.
Yeah, they do the 9 songs of Hotel California, and then they do Seven Bridges Road, which is their normal opening song of their set, which has beautiful harmonies. And then they go into Take It Easy One of These Nights, Take It to the Limit, Tequila Sunrise, Witchy Woman. Then they go into a Joe Walsh in the City, then I Can't Tell You Why, which is Timothy B. Schmidt singing. And then Lion Eyes, Best of My Love, and then Peaceful Easy Feeling, Love Will Keep Us Alive.
Wow.
And then they do James Gang Walk Away, which of course is Joe Walsh.
Cool.
And they do Those Shoes, and then Joe again does Life's Been Good, and Don does Boys of Summer, and then back to a Joe Walsh song with James Gang, Funk 49, Already Gone, Heartache Tonight, and then Joe does Rocky Mountain Way, then Desperado, then The Long Run, and then they usually close it with Hotel California. So it is.
Wow.
It's just remarkable.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah, really. Couldn't ask for more.
It's probably the best set list I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Even McCartney, as good as he was, like, he threw in a couple stinkers.
Man, I can't believe he does.
And, you know, a McCartney stinker is not a stinker.
Yeah,
but
no. Compared to stuff, yeah.
There were, you know, Let's Go Get a Beer songs
right.
Mixed in.
Right, you have to pee sometime.
That doesn't stop. Like,
yeah.
There's not one song I thought, oh, I'll make a run to grab a beer
or
during
bathroom.
That song.
Yeah.
A bathroom run, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I agree wholeheartedly on that. And, you know, Paul McCartney is my favorite, but sometimes he'll do songs from his newer albums, and it's not something I'm really into.
Yeah.
Eagles, although I love their last album they put out, I thought it was a terribly unappreciated album. I thought it was great. It came out, I think, in 2007 or something, the double album. But they don't do anything from it. Every song they do is from the 20th century.
Yeah. Boy.
It's just, it's remarkable. Plus, the covers they do, not covers, but the solo songs they do are remarkable. Joe Walsh is just amazing.
Wowie. All right. So they do these 6 shows, or 6 cities, and then do you get them to come to Hartford? Do they expand on it? Are they doing a wait and see, let's see how it goes kind of thing, or?
I think you know how it's going to go, and I talked to him about coming into Connecticut, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think they want to sit in the city and stay in the city. It's my guess that you'll see additional shows, because they only announced 2 shows in each city. It is my guess that you'll end up seeing in the cities that sell really well, and these are all major cities, so I would imagine they're all going to sell well. I mean, you're talking about cities like Los Angeles and Atlanta and Dallas and Houston and San Francisco, so besides New York. So, I mean, there could be third shows there. So my guess is if they add shows, they will just do more shows in those cities.
Oh, wow.
We'll all have to head to New York, us Connecticut people.
Like a moving residency.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very true. Very well put. Yep.
New York, L.A., Atlanta, Houston, San Francisco, and is there a Boston or?
Nope. They start in Atlanta for two shows. They go to New York for two shows, and they head to Dallas, and then Houston, San Francisco, and Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. Texas is so big, you have to do two cities.
Exactly right.
And same with California.
Yep.
Yeah. Holy cow. Wow, that's big.
That's huge.
It's like, let's get our tickets for New York.
That's what I would say, everybody. Get your tickets for New York, because I've not spoken to them about any possibility of them coming to Connecticut. And if they were going to go to Boston, they certainly would have scheduled it right from the get-go. So they're going on sale October 18th at 10 a.m., but Amex cardholders will have pre-sale on October 14th.
Nice.
Okay, that's coming up. Holy crap.
Yep.
Do we have ticket prices yet, Jimmy?
Don't have ticket prices yet, but I would guess you need to hold on to your paycheck.
Gotcha.
Ain't going to come cheap.
One way to put it.
Yep.
I don't get any more trouble than that. Yep. But
right. So
they were the original guys that figured out ticket prices were cheap, so they invented the high ticket price.
There you go, see?
Well, we screwed ourselves by going to scalpers and paying tons of money. And the Eagle said, well, if they're going to pay, well, why don't we just get the money?
Yeah, become the ultimate scalper.
Yeah, that was the Hell Freezes Over tour, right?
Yes, it was. Exactly right. 1996, 97, I had them at the Xfinity, the Meadows back then. And it was culture shock and sticker shock. But everybody realized, wait, of course, we pay these ticket money to scalpers. We'll just pay it directly to the band. The band was right.
Yeah.
The band really was right. And ticket prices stayed high because we underpriced tickets for so long. And we let scalpers make all the money.
Yeah. What were those tickets? Do you remember?
Yeah, they were the first tickets to be over $100.
Ah, that almost seems like getting off easy now.
Yeah, it's a discount now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's had the most expensive ticket that you could remember at this point?
Well, I remember Barbra Streisand at the Garden last month at $750 a ticket.
Oh.
What about Led Zeppelin did that O'Tour Arena?
That, and I remember when the Police got back together, those tickets were unbelievably expensive.
So $750 is the highest that you remember.
Yeah. When they gave me the tickets, they actually said $756 a ticket. But thankfully, they gave me the tickets.
Right. After he spit the coffee out of his mouth. No. Yeah. What?
So Jimmy was like, oh, I really love my girlfriend.
There's no Iron way Man. I would have ever paid $750 to see Barbra Streisand.
Is that right?
No. I'd pay $750 to see my favorite artist going, but she's not.
Right.
That's for sure.
So how? All right. So this was.
Billy Joel's tickets, for example, his best tickets, and I went last year on this about a year ago. I went October 27 last year. I'm looking at my ticket right now. That ticket was $139.50.
$139.50.
And that's the most expensive ticket. So, you know what also was a big ticket? Bruce Springsteen on Broadway was $850.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right.
That seems worth it to see him in that size venue.
Oh, I agree. So I'm looking at some of my old tickets because I'm like everybody else. I hold on to my tickets. I'm every bit the fan everybody else.
It's all on top of your dresser?
I think I told Jimmy about this.
It's on top of my dresser. That's so funny that you say that. It's right on top of my dresser. There's a pile of them.
We all do that. You empty your pocket right into the dresser. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I got a bunch
of
raffle tickets.
I'm looking at a Barbra Streisand ticket from 2000.
Right.
2000. Ticket price was
$353. Oof. Wow.
Damn.
20 years ago, it was $353.
Wow. Right.
I want my money back.
There you see. Well, you held on to the ticket, so you're good.
Can I tell you the most I spent on a ticket? And this is, it's a little embarrassing. I'm happy I'm in a position where I was able to afford it.
Okay.
I took out a mortgage to get it.
Right.
But it was Paul McCartney.
Right.
Right. It was sixth row at where was it?
MetLife, was it?
It was MetLife.
Yeah.
At MetLife.
Right.
Right. It was a skip the line. It was a party before the show, and then it was a private concert with just 200 people and Paul McCartney. He played a 20-something song set for us, songs that he wasn't playing in concert.
Yes.
And then you go back into an air-conditioned, and it was hot as balls that day, an air-conditioned room.
The House Balls
and
tour,
free beer, free food.
Right, all day.
Right, free wine, 4 hours, and then sixth row seat.
Nice.
It was three tickets for $4,700.
Wow. That's not bad.
I want to hear
and I bet you felt it was worth it.
Every penny. The memory of me, Chaz, and Jennifer all together singing along, and there's Paul McCartney standing right in front of us, right in front of us.
Can you guys shut up?
Yeah.
Can you just shut up and try to sing
like, I'll never. It was worth every penny.
That's incredible.
I said, shut up!
But, Jimmy, what do you think about that?
I would pay that also. I think it's great. I mean, you know, I always call them lifetime experiences.
Right.
Something you can do that you remember your whole life. It's worth a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. And that was, you know, you're singing every song.
Good and or bad. Yeah.
When you got 60,000 people all singing, you know, Might Have Been.
Right, singing Hey Jude.
Really.
Hey Jude. Exactly. Hey Jude.
If they can't sing, though, it kind of sucks.
Right.
Well, you know, they can actually sing because when the girls overtake the boys' voices, it's great.
I don't know.
Right. Because they can sing better.
I've heard some screechers out there.
I agree with that.
I don't know.
All right. So we'll talk to Jimmy tomorrow at 8:20. And we'll get an update on how he's doing with bringing Kiss back to Connecticut.
Right.
But thank you, Jimmy.
You got it, guys. Speak to you tomorrow.
Brother. Haunted places in Connecticut. Yesterday we talked about Hookman Cemetery.
Yes.
I had no idea it was so close to my house.
Who knew?
In Oxford.
Stone's throw.
Holy crap. It's like right on the way home.
Look at that. See that? It's not
bad. And so I'm going down Great Hill Road. I hit the rotary. I go through, take a right. And, I don't know, about a half a mile up on the right is Cemetery Road.
Oh, look at that.
You turn on the Cemetery Road, and you go a couple hundred feet, maybe 100 yards, and there it is.
Like a GPS.
And as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, I've been here before.
In a past life, or?
No.
Okay, let's check it.
No.
That'd be cool
as
if you
a
did.
Kid.
Oh.
Yep.
Field trip?
Before I could even drive.
Field trip?
Yeah, it's a kindergarten field trip.
We're all going to cemetery.
Teacher brought us out.
Exactly.
He's a weird teacher. Right. He had a hook as a hand.
Right. Bring your tongue trunks.
We got back on the bus, and he was covered in this red juice stuff, he said. And we were wondering where Jimmy, Tommy, and Sammy were. We never saw them again.
There's one extra guy. Didn't say much.
No, I went there with friends who, like, they were just... One was just able to drive, you know, and
right.
I was just under the age.
Be cool, man. Let's go
like,
to the cemetery.
Oh, I remember this place. What a time to go there now in the fall and everything's dying.
And creepy. Well, there's always dying in there, but yeah.
So I posted a picture on our Facebook page.
Any orbs?
Like, where is this haunted place in Connecticut?
Mm.
And there were a lot of different guesses, 98 comments, and... Mark Giuliano said Great Hill Cemetery, Seymour. Correct.
Correct, correct.
A lot of people had correct. Ray Greenwood said he slept there in the back of his hearse.
Really?
Ooh.
Mm, good place to take a nap.
And he has a picture of the hearse parked there.
Nice.
Oh, my God. That is creepy.
But he's dead tired, so.
Imagine walking through the cemetery and you see a hearse and... You see someone getting out of the back?
Right.
No, no, I'm out. I'm out of there.
That was a good scream. It's like a poured soup in my lap scream.
Then Denny posted on our Facebook page, Great Hill Cemetery in Seymour, Hookman's, I dig the graves there.
Oh, look at that. See that?
Nice. Oh, we want to talk to you.
Right. We dig it, man. I dig those graves, man. Hey, man.
So yesterday we talked about Hookman's, we talked about Guntown Cemetery in Naugatuck, and we talked about Dudleytown.
Dudley.
And did anything else come up?
My lunch.
What's that?
No.
RK in Waterbury.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning.
Thanks.
Hey, I know I heard you guys talk about Guntown. I heard you talk about the other places, but... this place makes them all look like Disney World.
Oh.
Undercliff.
Undercliff?
Undercliff where?
In Meriden.
Undercliff. I've never heard of this.
an abandoned mental hospital. It got knocked down recently, but it's not even a stone's throw away from the Meriden Mall.
And, oh, yeah, I know where that is.
Oh, yeah. We went up there one time, and it's as if it's just like it's out of a horror movie. Just things are just all scattered all over the floor. It looks like straight out of like a Saw movie.
Right.
Wow.
Mm. And sadly, they knocked it down. I don't know what's there now, but it was
probably too many people going in and too much activity.
Exactly.
Suburban ruins. It looked pretty nice for what it was.
You know, it's,
but you can't go to the mall for crazy savings, though.
I don't know what the word is. I'm not going to say funny or whatever, but...
odd, weird.
Connecticut used to be full of mental hospitals, right? We close them all down.
Right.
And we're like, why we got all these crazy people doing stuff?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't know.
Luckily...
let's do the math on this. Remember all those rooms that were overflowing with people?
Yeah, luckily...
that's right. Guess what? We just... they're walking around now.
Yes, they're in Hartford.
You know, and I don't mean like to be derogatory. They need help.
Right. Okay. It's okay. They're in office now. They're good.
All right. That's right. They're running Hartford.
Exactly. See?
All right. Thank you, RK and Danbury.
There's a place like that called the Seaside Sanatorium in Waterford.
Sanatorium?
It's still standing. It's an abandoned medical facility that once treated children with tuberculosis.
Ah, children ghosts scare me the most.
Sanatorium.
Oh, that's a T-shirt.
Did you mean for it to rhyme?
It really is.
Did you mean for it to rhyme?
I did not.
You're possessed.
Evil, evil, evil. Haunted places in Connecticut. Lance and Seymour. We were talking about Dudley Town yesterday. You have something on this?
Yeah, I had actually two. I wanted to touch on the Dudley Town thing. I actually had a fiance who was there on July 18th, 2010, and was killed hours later in a car accident on her way to work after being there.
Oh, my God.
Get out!
Sorry, man.
And then I've never personally been there, but when I did the research on the
place,
you guys were talking about the ground.
Yeah.
Yes.
They say that if you anything of yours that touches things there, you're supposed to leave it there. Basically, you're not supposed to let the dirt leave on your clothes or anything, or things follow you.
Oh, so you bring your wife.
But also, I wanted to give you another.
Wait! You can't just say that and then like, oh, and by the way, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Wait, you were
focus.
This was your fiance. How long had you guys been going out?
We were together since we were 18. We were together for 6 years.
Six years. Did you go there with her?
No, I did not. She went there with friends.
Gotcha. And how are the friends?
They're fine. Not okay in the head, but.
Oh. And so what happened with the car accident?
She was on her way to work. The story I got from the paramedics and things, they think she fell asleep on the wheel. She was in Southbury just before Kmart on Route 67.
Yeah, I know where that is.
By that park that's right there. And she went over the yellow line and struck two cars head on. And she rolled and broke her neck.
Oh, God.
Oh, that is horrible. So sorry.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Oh, man. But you had to connect those two things immediately, right?
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, remind me not to go to Dudley Town.
Ever.
Actually, you won't have to.
Right.
I'll just remember this story for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Right, just leave
I will
it there.
Never forget this story.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I've never been.
Yeah, don't go.
I'm good.
I don't blame you.
Yep.
I don't blame you. Oh.
And then it seems like these things, kind of things follow me, because at the end of the road that I live on in Seymour, where Derby Neck Road connects to Buckingham, there's a house called the Hell House that the Discovery Channel did a special on. Where the Warrens have actually ran out of that house and actually told the people that were living there never to go back.
I'm just picturing them running.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute.
Hell House.
Wait. The Warrens ran out of the house.
Yes. The Discovery Channel has a whole special on it called Hell House. It's on YouTube if you want to look it up. A Haunting Hell House. And it's basically the Warrens went there with a median. Family had moved in. A couple of weeks after they moved in, they're sitting in the living room watching a movie. Their golden retriever gets picked up and thrown across the room.
Whoops.
They tried to justify it normally. A couple of weeks later, their youngest son, who was only like 7 or 8 at the time, started complaining about monster under the bed kind of thing. And they thought it was normal boogeyman stuff. Until a couple of weeks after that, their 13-year-old daughter, Jen, was laying in bed sleeping. And she said about 3 o'clock in the morning, She was awoken, but couldn't move, had complete paralysis, couldn't blink, couldn't scream, nothing. Her blankets got ripped off of her. It was like a movie, she said. And I've seen her tell me this story. When you see it in her face, like, this happened to this girl. You could see it. And eventually, the mother did some research on the house, and it was built in the 1800s, and it was a bed and breakfast kind of thing for horse and buggy. And supposedly, the gentleman who owned it was torturing and killing the people living there. And when the mother was an artist before she had kids, but when she had kids, didn't have time to draw or anything anymore. But she said every night when she'd come home, she was compelled to go downstairs and work on this drawing. And when she was done, it was a charcoal drawing of three figures, or one large figure over three smaller figures. And when she had it read, they told her that basically that there was four souls, if you will, in the house, and that one was demonic and forcing the other one to do demonic things and that they didn't want to do. And the reason that she had this urge to draw was because it was one of the spirits trying to communicate with her. The Warrens then came there with another medium. While they were in the kitchen talking, the medium grabbed a piece of paper and wrote down on a paper, get out, or you will die. Then the Warrens came back to do an exorcism on the house. They sat down at the dining room table, and the medium, who weighed maybe 120 pounds soaking wet, threw Ed Warren against the wall at the dining room table. And then when they tried to tie her down, she managed to rip an armrest off of the chair and smack Ed Warren upside the head with it.
Wow.
And at that point, they walked out of the house and told the family that they needed to leave, that whatever was there wasn't going to leave, and now it might follow them because they pissed it off. The family knew they had to sell the house, had a contractor come to the house. The house sits right on the driveway. The contractor pulled his truck into the driveway, the house sitting right next to the truck. The contractor took his metal toolbox out, set it down on the driveway, went onto the porch to knock on the door and tell them that he was there, and his truck burst into flames. The flames were so hot that the toolbox still has a mark in the driveway where it was cherrying red from the flames. Mm. Yet the house didn't get any smoke damage or any damage from this fire.
Holy crap!
Might have been a recall on my pickup truck.
Is that house still up?
Yes, it is. After the family that was living there moved out of it, they boarded it up, and because it's right on the Seymour and Derby Town line, the towns kept selling it back and forth to each other because neither one of them wanted to pay to knock it down.
Right.
And then recently, a contractor bought the house and is remodeling it as we speak.
Oh, we got to talk to that dude. All right.
The house is right on the back of Osmondale State Park, and it's across the street from a farm where when they started building houses in, they found was Indian burial ground.
Uh-huh.
So that house is in, like, the middle of the worst area pretty much.
Man. Lot of calls.
Yes.
We're going to keep doing it in the 6 o'clock hour until we feel like, well, we've covered it all.
Had enough, yes.
Every day in the 6 o'clock hour until Halloween or until it just runs dry.
Exactly.
We'll talk about haunted places in Connecticut. It'll be like Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
I'll do it until...
Like a residency, yes.
No one wants it anymore.
Right.
These calls are just crazy. And, wow.
Crazy good.
Crazy good.
Crazy good.
But crazy, crazy.
Crazy scary.
Haunted places in Connecticut.
Crazy.
We were talking about Hookman Cemetery yesterday, and Angelo, the world's biggest elf,
yes,
delivers all the bags of toys every year to the Chaz and AJ McDermott Chevrolet Lexus toy drive, proposed something on our Facebook page when I posted the picture of Hookman Cemetery.
Okay.
What are you proposing?
Good morning, guys.
Morning. Good morning.
Well, I've been listening to this cemetery for the past 2 days, and I said, you know, I got to experience this. And the best way to experience this is to actually sleep in the cemetery overnight.
Oh, look at you. Like a tent? So, you gonna pitch a tent?
So what I'm going to do is actually going there with a sleeping bag and sleep there overnight to raise funds and to collect toys for the Chaz and AJ McDermott Chevrolet and Lexus toy drive.
Gonna sleep in a sleeping bag at Hookman Cemetery.
It's Angelo in a bag.
But here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker.
Here's
my
the kicker.
Friends that know me, they hear Angelo at the sleeping in a cemetery in a sleeping bag. That's camping.
Right.
But how about sleeping in the cemetery in a body bag with a my pillow?
Wow, look at
that. In a body bag.
I'm seeing a theme here.
Now that's the cream of the crop right there.
In a body bag.
Mm. Where are you gonna find a body bag?
Body bag and a my pillow on Halloween night at midnight.
Oh, my God.
Well. And I don't want anybody bringing me coffee because I want to sleep and I want the full experience.
Gotcha. No, we can't say what night it's going to be.
Okay. No.
All right? Because the Seymour police, and I know them very well, and they're good people. They'll have to do their job.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
They won't have any choice but to get you and, you know,
you and your body
drag you out of there.
Yeah.
Right.
I have to make my contacts.
They'll just keep you in the body
bag. They'll just zip you up and roll you out.
Yeah. Right. Let's just beat this thing until we see blood spots and then we'll drag it away. I think it's a bear. It's about the size of one.
Last year, we did $192,638.56 for the toy drive. So at the end of the toy drive for 2019, I want to hear Drew say $250,000.
Oh, why do you have to do that?
That's my
two would be exciting.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's my goal.
All right.
You know me. I push the limits.
You do, and it's good to dream big.
It is.
And then we're gonna put this into the motions, and I'm gonna try to get some toys collected earlier than I normally do. I usually go right after Halloween.
But the toy drive's early this year, December 6th.
Yep.
No one's even thinking about Christmas December 6th, so, you know, we have that going against us.
Yes, we do.
Well, exactly. Everybody's got to get in the, you know, not too many people are in the mindset, December 6th, warm temperatures, but you know what? Christmas is coming. So you got to start planning this thing ahead of time.
Right.
All right, so let's not say Hookman's, but we're going to say you're going to sleep in one of these haunted cemeteries.
Correct.
At some point around Halloween.
Correct.
And what are we doing now? We're pledging toys for you to do this? Like,
well,
is there a goal we have to reach to get you to do that?
I'm going to ask people to drop off a toy, a newly unwrapped toy for a boy or girl.
At the cemetery?
Like a pail and shovel?
Yep. I'll make sure I have a box or a truck.
No. This is what we got to do. We got to work on the details.
Yeah.
But having your ass in a haunted cemetery around Halloween is very appealing to me.
And the rest of you, too.
I'll make sure I bring a recording device. No cell phone, just a recording device.
Oh, good. All right. Okay, so we're going to work on this.
Definitely.
All right, thank you, Angelo.
You got it, guys.
All right. Can you please tell everyone who's been holding to call us tomorrow? If you have a good story there, Phil, grab their number and we'll get them on tomorrow. It's 620 Haunted Places in Connecticut. Just this music scares me.
Seriously.
84-year-old woman attacked by a raccoon while gardening in Hamden.
Okay.
Let's go to the Channel 3 report.
On to our big story this morning. Police in Hamden and animal control officers are searching for an unlikely suspect, a raccoon.
Yeah, the raccoon attacked and bit a woman.
Hold on. They're searching for.
Right. They have little masks on, so, you know.
That's true.
They do look like criminals.
Exactly.
I like how this is the big story of the morning,
too.
Yeah,
really.
Right.
Yeah.
It is. Like, they have, what's her name, Cruz, out in Hamden.
Carolina Cruz. Right.
Covering it with live shots.
Yeah, so I'm like, really? I'm covering a coon. Good, yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
All right. AJ's very excited about this raccoon story.
Yes. Because they're animals, okay? Oh, an animal attacked a person.
All right, hold on. All right, save it.
But a raccoon.
Yeah, the raccoon attacked and bit a woman Monday afternoon while she was just in her backyard. Channel 3 Eyewitness News reporter Carolina Cruz is live in Hamden. And Carolina, what are they telling people to do to prevent being the raccoon's next victim?
Victim. What do you mean victim? It's not a vendetta.
What are they telling people of Hamden to do to not be the next victim?
Stay your ass inside the house. Done.
This raccoon's name is Freddy Krueger.
Right.
Hello, lady.
Yeah, what are they saying? Let's see if we can guess. What are they saying? Don't approach any raccoons.
If you see one, go inside.
Right.
Make sure. Isn't it like when you want to have a deer attack you, you cover yourself in deer urine?
Right.
Keep away from all raccoon urine.
Right. Sure. Right. Don't roll in raccoon urine.
Or your own urine.
Yeah. Don't let a raccoon urinate on you.
Exactly. Right.
Don't smell like a garbage can.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Right. Don't have any food on you, for example.
They seem to gravitate towards those garbage cans.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this goes for all raccoons. So first off, don't feed them and make sure
okay,
they keep
stop.
Any.
That's a good one.
Don't feed the raccoons.
I'm going to write this down.
Yep.
I like how she starts the report. She doesn't say, thank you, Eric. She's like.
She just ran away from
like
it,
she
actually.
She just ran. Like, I just got away.
For broadcasting school.
And I can tell you, That sucker's fast.
Right.
I had to climb a tree, run zigzag through the park.
I didn't see the raccoon, but I heard a ch-ch-ch. And I was like, oh, that's him. That's him.
It's broadcasting school, and I'm covering a raccoon.
Don't feed them. And make sure that you keep any garbage out of their reach. Also, don't leave any poop, pet food outside.
Oh, wait, don't leave any poop?
Poop, pet food.
Don't leave any poop food.
See, bubbles happen.
Maybe it has something to do with today.
Wait, I should write this down now. What? Wait, one was don't feed them.
Don't feed them, right.
All right, because I want to know this stuff. Don't feed them.
No raccoon chow outside.
Want me to back it up?
What was the other one was
no garbage out.
No garbage. Right.
Stay away from garbage.
And what was the last one?
And make sure that you keep any garbage out of their reach. Also, don't leave any poop pet food outside.
Don't let any poop food outside.
Poop pet food, yes.
Pet food.
Your poop head.
No pet food outside.
Right.
Okay.
And lastly, make sure that you secure all of your compost piles.
Wait.
How do you secure a compost pile?
How do you secure a compost pile?
Just out there.
The compost piles...
They're outside.
Right.
Composting. Just out there.
They're
just
right. How do you secure it?
Unless you have one of those barrels that you could turn the compost in.
Gotcha, right. That's elaborate, though. Most of us don't have that.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like their cute little raccoon hands would break in there anyway.
Exactly. They're masked with thieves, you know.
I don't think they're cute. I think they're creepy.
They can crack a
safe.
No,
they're just trying to give her a hug with this cute
they're
little
raccoon.
Awesome. Right. That wasn't an attack.
They can hold a pretzel.
They're so cute. Right. They've got five little fingers and they're little teeny cute little
Yeah, you put a little tool belt.
They look like they're wearing leather gloves.
Yes!
So they're wearing leather gloves and they have a mask.
Right.
Like, tell me this isn't the Hamburglar.
They are so fast.
They can crack a safe, actually. That's the best thing, man.
I picture that, too.
Right.
Like coming down on a wire from a tree.
Right. That's what they told it. They're imitating the lock on your safe. Everybody thinks they're just kind of clacking away. They say, no, I know the combo to your safe.
Now they're biting elderly women.
Exactly.
But I still haven't found out what happened to this woman.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting into this report. We went live to Hamden.
Right.
We heard what not to do. To the, but what happened
Secure
to the woman?
Compost
is she alive?
I
mean,
alive.
I know there's... I heard that they're searching for this.
Right.
Where was she been?
Yeah, good luck.
Right. Okay, if you're in Hamden now, and if you've seen this attack... we don't want to call it killer raccoon.
Right.
We don't believe the woman is dead.
Maybe she provoked it.
What?
Maybe she provoked it. I mean, the raccoons are usually docile creatures that will run away from you. So she had to have done something to piss it off.
I was thinking, how did it happen? I mean, like, she had a... Unless it was a sneak attack from behind.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd be able to avoid.
Exactly. Right.
I imagine three raccoons in a bush. When I'm going like, hey, Tawny, I think I could.
I mean, granted, she doesn't run like lightning either, but they kind of lumber towards you. And usually you can't get out of their way.
I like how you immediately blame the elderly woman in this situation.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, how many raccoon attacks do we have out there? Okay. She had to have done something to piss it off.
Thing is rabid.
I know every single time I've
100% seen... she's going to get test for rabies and she's going to be positive.
Nah.
They said it attacked her Monday during the day.
During the day.
She was probably by his food source. That's why. Or maybe it was his babies there. A mom will attack if there's babies over there.
Babies come in the spring.
Well, maybe these are older babies. Maybe these are little Italian babies.
Teenagers.
Who want to leave the house. Hey, Ma, I'm 27 years old. I'm still living at the house. How you doing? Where's my puffy pants from the gym?
All right, hold on. Chaz and AJ.
Well, gold chains and whatnot.
All right, Chaz and AJ.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
You know, how are you today?
Do you have anything to bring to the table here?
Yes, I do. I was watching one of those animal shows the other day, so they rescued this raccoon. Now they go to release him. So it's this guy. I think he's like a state forest ranger. And the lady that recouped him. So he opens up the cage. The raccoon comes out. They didn't even realize that the raccoon was rabid. Now the thing turns around and goes ballistic. Now it's ready to attack. He looks at the lady, draws his gun, and shoots the raccoon dead right there.
And they put that on TV, really?
I swear, right on TV. He looks at her and he goes, euthanize it? And before she even answered, he pulled his gun and shot the thing right there in the street.
That was a creepy laugh.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, Phil's the guy who smashed the hamster's face.
And wants to kill all geese.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm not alone on that.
Right. All right, thank you. We still don't know a lot about this attack. We just know she was outside during the day, 84, and then got bit by a raccoon.
This is all still the live report. We haven't gone to, like, the package yet.
Maybe she smelled
it. Yeah. Oh, very good. Okay.
An afternoon of gardening turned into a trip to Yale New Haven Hospital for a Hamden woman.
Call it. Well.
So she smelled like garbage.
Maybe he just wanted her carrots or radishes.
Well, AJ could be right.
She probably smelled like garbage.
No, she was in the... Oh, my God. He can't even figure out that he's goddamn right now. Jesus Christ. Fix your brain.
She was in the food source.
She was in his food source.
Yes.
Was that the raccoon playing piano?
It was. Those little fingers I got.
I told you they have human hands.
But she's in her food source, and she's also, like, she's been working all day. She couldn't smell very nice either.
Okay, go ahead.
The 84-year-old was given a rabies shot after a raccoon bit her on the hand, then scurried off. Willie Melendez lives near the wooded area off Vantage Road where the attack happened.
Run?
Yeah.
Scurry?
No, they can just scurry.
There's walk.
Right. They scurry.
Run.
Right.
What is scurry? What does scurry look like?
Scurry is
like, a little dance to the side?
No.
Like every four steps, your back leg does the cha-cha?
It's kind of like you're grabbing for the ground, but, you know, you're kind of like grabbing for the ground, but you're like really like running.
It's like a kind of
you're
a creepy
scurrying.
Run.
Yeah. You're
do
scurrying.
Do you hear a piano go ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding
we did just
when
now.
You're scurrying?
Yeah.
That was the music before. That was a scurrying away. That's why you heard the music.
I imagine a quicker piano, like, chase.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no, that was him reaching over to bite the lady.
Scurry is like when you're low to the ground, you got little tiny legs.
Yes.
Like a mouse will scurry.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, there it goes.
No, that's Benny Hilling.
Hey, wait. It's going around the garbage can.
Right.
Goes through the garden.
That's chasing her.
Oh, right. Came out the top.
Oh, hello. Yep. Tug his nose now.
Oh, got the car. It's driving a Prius down the road.
Oh. Environmentally conscious. They don't want to ruin the planet yet.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is the perfect scurry music.
All right.
Willie Melendez lives near the wooded area off Vantage Road where the attack happened. He's being cautious.
Just to be safe and secure around your kids and family, your property.
Just be safe. Just be safe around the kids and the property.
Wow, this is, let's go knock on some doors and talk to some eyewitnesses.
Yeah, really.
And some people in the neighborhood. How are you protecting yourself from the killer raccoon?
Right, these are the ones who actually answered the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was home.
Well, this sounds rabid, no?
Yeah, in the daytime, it's gotta be.
You have to assume it is.
Nah, I'm thinking she probably was where we were supposed to, maybe it's probably living in there. They gotta live someplace, probably living in the garden.
Well, the police are looking for it, so it's certainly not there now.
I think it's got food right there.
Well, they had to move, of course.
Wait, do raccoons live underground?
No, they don't live underground. They live in
the house. You gotta live in the how's a raccoon gonna live in a garden?
And the point, the gardens are kind of thick. If a garden,
it's not a forest. It's a garden.
It's not a cornfield.
It's a garden.
It's a backyard garden.
Have you seen gardens? Something like
what does it have? Tomatoes and cucumbers.
Right.
It might have been a vegetable.
It's an 84-year-old woman. It's not a dude on a tractor.
Okay. First of all, it's probably not a vegetable garden because
an 84-year-old woman doesn't have 3 acres of garden.
It's probably not a vegetable garden.
It's a 12x12 square.
You know, there are bushes and plants that are gardens also, not just vegetable gardens.
So the raccoon lives under a bush.
Could be living in there. Yeah,
I'm gonna plant a garden full of bushes.
They don't have a freaking condo.
Yeah, what are you growing in your garden?
Bush. You know those big plants.
Would you like a salad? Yeah, what's in that?
Bush.
You got a drink to go with this? Yeah,
bush.
Our old buddy Jim Wiltsey in studio, Fairfield police officer, U.S. Marine Corps veteran.
Thank you.
Cousin of Vicky Soto.
Yes.
Thank you for all that you do.
You're welcome. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
He was just telling us about this. He's got a project house.
Ah, project. They called it a money pit.
We were bonding on this all the time.
I saw you too. Like your nipples were touching.
Well, it was more of the horror look. Like, oh.
Been there, buddy. Been there, buddy.
Right.
Been there.
Yeah.
Support.
I'm living the dream.
Yeah.
Love you, man.
So, but he's living in the house while he's doing it.
Oh.
I did that once. Oh, that's great fun.
Yeah, so that's
with 3 kids, it's great.
Yeah, three
no
kids.
No kitchen. Yeah.
Right, ripping the house apart.
And planning the 5K.
Right. Oh, that's good, yeah.
Because you don't have enough going on in your life.
And my full-time job that actually I get paid for.
Right.
All that more.
It's great.
Yeah, but the thing about doing the project while you're living in the house, it's like you grab a glass because you want just a glass of water, and you're like, oh, I gotta get the
all the plastic
from
stuff off.
Yep. We have water bottles that don't fit in the bathroom sink, so I literally have to take water bottles to my mother's house to fill them. There's all those little things that, oh, this doesn't fit in the bathroom sink.
So what, the kitchen's all apart, no sink?
All gone.
The kitchen's just a shell.
It's just a shell.
No cabinets.
Yeah, nothing.
So
wow.
These are you, wifey, three kids.
Basically, the first floor is like a warehouse. There's four walls
and
a wood floor.
We got a can of beans and some spoons.
Chinese food cartons and chopsticks.
Yeah. That's so what do you guys do? You go out to eat, right?
Yes, and we're fortunate. My sister lives down in Lordship, my mother, and it's we're kind of like going from food kitchen to food kitchen.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. You're knocking on the door. Hi, it's
us.
Trick or treat.
Yeah, last night was Taco Tuesday at my sister's.
Taco Tuesday.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
That's Wednesday Tuesday today.
You know, they got a little pub there now in Lordship. You should stop there. What was that taco we had?
The pulled pork tacos.
No, it was pulled pork. Was it mushu?
Yeah, mushu pork.
Mushu pork tacos.
It's so good.
They have done a wonderful job with the old Marnix property. Doug's a great guy. He's actually been reaching out. They want to get involved with the 5K.
Nice.
Which is very cool.
They're good people.
If you only do one 5K a year, this is the one to do.
Yes.
It's really great. And, like, I'm kind of lame when it comes to running. This is mostly flat ground.
Mostly, yes. And so it's like one little hill. Tiny
right,
one.
There's one little hill at
tiny
the end.
Tiny one at the end, yeah.
Yeah.
Run that by the little condo complexes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Oh, we're going to actually, you know what? It's going to help this year. So we had to move because we Stanziel's closed.
Oh.
So we are moving down the street a little bit to the huge lot next to Sniffin's Lane. And the Windsock, which is a little bar at the airport, has been kind enough to take us on. And our beer tent's going to be at the Windsock. And the huge lot across the street from the Windsock is going to be our tent city, if you will. So because we had to change the location, instead of it being at Stanziel's, we're going to reverse the course. So that hill is going to get you going faster. It's going to be at the beginning, correct.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's going to push you. And then on the way back, when you're tired, it's going to be flat. So it's actually, we're making the course easier.
I will shave a minute off my 60 minutes.
Can I tell you?
I'm doing 59
when we say
now.
A hill, like, it wasn't even a hill.
It wasn't really, yeah. Yeah.
It was like a bump.
Right. It was like, yeah. Well, at the end, though, it's like, oh, my God.
All right, so what do you do now if you want to run this or just go?
So if you go to Vicky Soto 5K, it's going to lead you to our run sign-up site. Can you believe it's been 7 years?
Seven years.
I was just telling Phil, I was sitting in the kitchen waiting, and I remember the first year I came on, I was nervous, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like, this is the seventh year.
Right.
It's been an amazing ride. We are still looking for sponsors. We made over $120,000 last year for one day, for one 5K.
That's great.
We just hit the 2,000 mark, so we have 2,000 runners signed up so far. Our T-shirt deadline is this Sunday. So if you want a T-shirt, you got to sign up before Sunday. But again, we're still looking for sponsors. And to fill the void where we lost Stanziel's, the great pizza, we're still going to do beer. We have Sierra Nevada signed up this year.
Ooh, nice.
A good friend of mine.
Good to see you.
It's good beer.
New England Brewery is coming.
Great
Two
people.
Roads. Two Roads is going to be there.
Awesome.
And
nice.
Bad Sons up in Derby.
Oh, another great spot.
Mark DeSilva. Yep.
Yep. Good people.
All good people. But we lost pizza. So we are looking to fill that void with some food trucks. We have 99 coming back. They do like 500 pounds of steak tips. They have great steak tips.
Damn.
But we have the Liberty Rock Tavern truck.
And the food is part of the...
Correct. You sign up, you get a shirt, and you get more than a banana and more than a bottle of water. You get beer and food, steak
nuts.
Tips.
It's
all
crazy.
And we've prided ourselves in when you show up as a guest, you do not have to pay. If you're a registered runner, all the food and all the beer and all the water, everything is free.
Nice.
So you can leave your wallet in the car, bring your ID if you want a beer.
Yes.
Right.
But yeah, we it's been amazing from the town of Stratford, just the outpouring of love that we've gotten with the participants
just
and the
so
sponsors.
You know, for the shady types listening, not that they listen to the station, but
no, of course not.
No one's leaving a wallet in the car. Okay.
Yeah, no.
All right?
No.
All right, that was a
right,
figure of speech.
And the ones that are being guarded by ball pythons.
Right. I know a little bit about Vicky, but tell the tribe about Vicky.
So she was a passionate teacher. That lost her life doing what she loves to do, being a teacher in Sandy Hook.
But she lost her life protecting her students.
Correct, protecting her students, who she called her own kids. that was her first real gig as a teacher, and she just loved it. That was her thing.
How long had she been on the job at that point?
I think that was her first classroom. Like, that was her first or second year as a brand new teacher. Got very excited to, you know, finally have her own classroom with her own kids. And I don't have to tell the rest of the story. Everybody knows. But, she, you know,
every story I hear about her is, yep, she was like, if you drew up like a Hollywood like model teacher, she's going to be in this movie and at least the perfect, you know, loves her kids.
She spent her life from a very young age striving to be a teacher, and then she reached her goal.
Became the teacher.
Yeah. But, you know, we couldn't think of a better way to honor her legacy than what we've set up in this 5K. This is it. This is our fundraiser. We give out over $100,000 of scholarships a year.
That's the most impressive thing about this run,
yes,
is when you have and you're listing through the people that you've helped.
Yep.
And I thought, wow, Vicky is looking down so proud that her work continues.
And yes, those very first scholarship recipients are now teachers in the classroom. So it's kind of gone full circle.
Nice.
And we've been fortunate enough to raise enough money to do renewable scholarships. So if you're passionate like Vicky was, you're going to be a teacher, you get the Vicky Soto scholarship, you can ride that through your entire academic career. And then,
wow,
graduate and become a teacher like Vicky was. Okay. So we couldn't think of a better way to honor her legacy. You know, along with the scholarships we have partnered with, we are giving out books to over 250 classrooms for kids and teachers. I mean, it's amazing. There's a whole literacy portion that we do with the town of Stratford and the teachers. It's just everything that she was passionate about, being a teacher and reading. She loved books. She loved to read. We are giving back and keeping her legacy alive.
It's the most beautiful tribute,
absolutely,
you can give to her. And then there's free food and booze.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
You know? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So,
come on.
Vicky Soto 5K is where you find us online. We are looking for scholarship. We're looking for sponsors and food trucks.
All right. We'll link that up. WPLR.com. If you're listening, you know, and you want to expose yourself to thousands of people in Lordship, go to WPLR.com.
It is November 2nd.
And we're linked up at WPLR.com to Vicky Soto 5K, and it's the number 5K.com. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
Hey, we'll talk
to you guys
as we approach.
Yes. This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.